Thy strong word, we praise you and acknowledge you up through endless ranks of angels. Hi, this is Pastor Will Wheaton, inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2026 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, Singing the Ancient Faith in Our Own Days. Making the Case is Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading is from Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Beloved in the Lord, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, the Lord decided in his infinite wisdom to really cook up a meal for us today. We've got a gospel lesson on pastoral theology from the lectionary, no less, on this glorious day when the Lord, according to his promise and our prayer, because the Lord never asks us to ask for what he's not willing to give, sends forth laborers into his harvest, pastors into his harvest from this seminary, just as he did last night at our sister seminary in St. Louis. Praise and thanks to him alone. So the next few minutes, we're going to work through the gospel lesson carefully, and then we'll apply all of that at the end to the pastoral office and to your future work as a pastor. Now, the gospel lesson for today is really divided into two sections. Jesus actually gave two separate parables. The first section is fundamentally about true and false preachers, and the second section is fundamentally about the Lord Jesus Christ as the door of the sheep pen. In the first section, however, the door is the Holy Scriptures. Apart from the Holy Scriptures, the doorway into the Holy Christian Church is entirely barred to anybody. The doorkeeper is the Holy Spirit, who gives right understanding of the Holy Scriptures. He opens them up. Apart from this Spirit-wrought understanding that gives us Jesus as the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world, the door of the Scriptures remains utterly closed and no one can enter the fold. The Scriptures remain a dark mystery. The sheep pen, the aule, which is another word for hall, the aule is the Holy Christian Church, the mother house of all of the elect of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the sheep are the elect, known by name, by God, from eternity, even when they've not always known him, but who know him when they finally hear the voice of the true preachers of the gospel. And the shepherds are all the true preachers of the gospel of all times and all places, who use the door, the Holy Scriptures, and the understanding given by the Holy Spirit that points to Jesus and his all-availing good shepherd sacrifice. He lays down his life for the sheep. They are the preachers of all times who keep Jesus at the center. God has had such preachers since the time of Adam, and he's going to have them right until the end of the world, according to his promise that the gates of hell will not prevail against his holy Christian church. The thieves and robbers, however, are the false preachers of all time. Whether they be horned Zedekiah in 1 Kings 22, or the prophets and priests in Jeremiah's day with their incessant cry of peace, peace, when there was none, or even contemporaries of Jesus like Judas, who betrayed Jesus into the hand of sinners, or Theudas that we read about in Josephus, who made himself a Messiah only to turn out to be the Antichrist, or the Docetist Cerinthus, or Christ-splitting Nestorius. All of them, unlike the true preachers, refused to enter the door and its keeper, and instead scrambled up the walls of the sheep pen to seize and devour what wasn't theirs. But the elect, praise God, do not know their voice, and they flee. So that's the first section. I'm just going to note a few differences in the second section. In the imagery of the second section, the door has now become our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the point of this juxtaposition is really pretty obvious. It's as if to say what Jesus says elsewhere: all the Scriptures testify of me. The door is marked with my blood. Faith looks to it and death passes o'er. Another slight difference is this. Now the thieves and robbers are those, Jesus says, who came before him. Now he doesn't mean every preacher who came before him. He, after all, has had his faithful preachers throughout time from Adam. What he means is the Pharisees and the Sadducees and everyone who's like them. They show up in the appearance of godliness, but all the while they deny its power, which is Christ, and the holy life that he offered in place of sinners. And wrapped up in their pieties, they tithe mint and cumin and neglect the weightier things of the law and travel across land and sea to make a single proselyte, but make him twice as much a child of hell as themselves. They steal, they kill, they destroy, but not the door. For the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, came that they might have life and have it in abundance through his resurrection, through his death. That is the telos, the goal for which Christ came into the flesh. Fellow redeemed, the gospel has a goal. Christ has a goal. It's the salvation of the sheep. Very obvious. So that's our Lord's little parable on pastoral theology, but there's a lot to note about this. I just want to point out four things. First of all, Jesus does not pit faithfulness to the Scriptures against himself or against the gospel's telos. Nor is the gospel's telos pitted against faithfulness to the Scriptures. Faithfulness to the Scriptures, in fact, is faithfulness to Jesus and faithfulness to the gospel's goal. That's the first point. Second, Christ's own telos, which must be yours if you're to be his ministers, is that his sheep may have abundant life, everlasting life. That means that in your conduct in the office, your every interaction with the sheep must be driven by the goal of the gospel, which is to say, the goal of Christ himself, in whose stead you stand. Third, the pastor takes care of sheep that aren't his. Your future congregation belongs to you as little as it belongs to the thieves. It's Christ's. It was bought with his blood. Even if it isn't precious to you, never forget that it's precious in the sight of the Lord. Treat all of your sheep that way. Fourth, the world is full of false would-be shepherds, thieves and robbers, and they come in all sorts of different varieties. Some, like the cult leader Theudas that we just mentioned, are easy to spot. But there's another variety. You could call them crypto thieves. They fail to keep the thing the thing. The Pharisees, after all, weren't trying to send men to hell, but in failing to keep the thing, they did. That is, they failed in their conduct in office to let all of their work be guided by this one cardinal thing, that the sheep may have life and have it in abundance. That is the gospel's goal. That's the whole work of the pastoral office. Not just here, it's not just here found in this passage, but it's all over the scriptures. So you keep that in the front of your mind at all times. Let that guide your every interaction with Christ's sheep. Because any pastor who misses that point is a robber and a thief. Every pastor who fails to speak or act with Christ's telos doesn't deserve the name or title of pastor at all. He should be defrocked. Every pastor who elevates his own sensibilities above our Lord's explicit telos, whether that's the joy of being right or fulfilling a martyr complex or having the conduct of the divine service just so, whatever it is, in fact, it turns the living flock of Christ into a sacrifice on the altar of the pastor's own interests. May the good and gracious Lord preserve every single one of you from that and graciously spare his elect. So, future brothers in the office, this is our prayer for you. It's the church's prayer for you as you enter the ministry. May you enter through the door, through the Holy Scriptures, and understand them according to the Holy Spirit, that they testify to the salvation that is in Jesus Christ alone. And above all, that in all that you say and do, you say and do it with Christ's goal in mind, that the sheep may have life and have it abundantly. May God grant it to all of you. May God grant it to the church for the sake of Jesus Christ and his all-availing sacrifice on the cross for the sins of the world. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
God, the Son of God, begotten of his Father, through all worlds, God of God, light of light.
In the hope and joy of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us pray for all people according to their needs. Merciful Father, by your Son you continually provide your church on earth faithful shepherds to guide and feed your flock. By your Holy Spirit, encourage all pastors that they may proclaim only your truth, and grant your people wisdom that their souls may be restored in the green pastures and quiet waters of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, remember, O Lord, all who have strayed from your church. Grant them repentance, and use us and all your people to bring them back again into your fold. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, protect the leaders of this and all the nations of the earth, and guide them in wisdom that peace may abound. Preserve us from violent weather, disease and famine, and war and bloodshed, so that all may dwell in safety. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, your Son knows his sheep and all of the frailties and weaknesses, burdens and temptations that we bear. Visit, comfort, and relieve those who suffer from illness, injury, or brokenness. Keep them in your hand, and according to your merciful goodness, grant them healing, restoration, and health. Lord, in your mercy.
In confidence that you hear our prayers and that what we ask in your name is pleasing to you, we commend all for whom we pray into your merciful goodness, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, and most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.
As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has now bestowed upon you his holy body and blood, by which he's made full satisfaction for all of your sins, strengthen you and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Christ is risen.
He is risen.